Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our online service this morning. Wish we could be with you, but maybe in your pajamas, and that would be awkward, but it's so glad we can be together, worshiping together this Sunday. I want to start with reading a scripture here from Psalm 118. It says this: "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Ah, what a great verse. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I want us to be people that remember that. No matter what is going on, no matter what difficulties we're facing, that we say, give thanks to the Lord. Ah, for he's so good. His love endures forever. Well, it's great to be with you. My name is Tim. I'm one of the pastors here. And I want to just have a few announcements I want to draw to your attention. The first is Easter weekend is coming up. And I want to, we got several services that are happening over that weekend on the Thursday evening of before Easter. Is a Monday Thursday. I believe that's April 1st. And we're going to meet here at 7 o'clock. You need to sign up for that service. But it's going to be a great worship, communion service. Kevin Hogan will be joining us and leading part of that with me. And so it's going to be a really great time to be together. If you'd like to come, please sign up for that. On Friday, on April 2nd, the ministerial, we've always done a ministerial Good Friday service. Of course, that's so complicated with the restrictions we're facing these days. So what we're doing instead is we're going to do a virtual Good Friday service at 10 o'clock. There's not going to be a march. There's not going to be all gathering together, but we're going to have different pastors praying in different parts of the town, and I'll be speaking as well on that service, so I hope you can join us at 10 o'clock on Good Friday. And then, of course, on Easter Sunday, we're going to be celebrating Jesus, turn our mourning into dancing, and we're going to be remembering and reflecting and celebrating what Christ did for us on the cross and how he rose again, coming back to life, winning the battle once and for all. So that's on Easter Sunday. Soul Care is going to be starting up again on March 29th. And if you'd like to be a part of Soul Care, then I would encourage you to go on our website and look up that so you can sign up for that. I believe on our website we have an online bulletin as well, so there's lots of information in there. But Soul Care is starting up, and Soul Care is fantastic, helping to unpack the baggage that we carry in our lives, in our souls, so we can live free and forgiven and experience all that God has for us. So if you'd like to do that, make sure you check that out and sign up. And then tomorrow night is March 22nd, Monday night, and we're going to have our worship and prayer night, our monthly worship and prayer night gathering. And so if you can be there, we'd love to have you come. Again, sign up for that and come join us. Sing together and pray together, and we'll connect with our Lord and connect in community and lift up our church for God's glory. All right, we're going to sing here in just a moment, but let me just open in prayer, and then we'll worship together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity we have to be together. Thank you for your presence, your love, and your wonder. Thank you that you have poured out your extravagant gifts on us, and we want to be as generous as you are in all that we do, with all that we have. We commit this time to you. Commit each person, wherever they are, even now in their homes. Lord, you would pour your peace on their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I searched the world, but it couldn't fail me. Man's empty praise, treasures that fade, are never enough. You came along, put me back together, and every desire satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. come now to pray. Show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. You've seen them all, and you still call me friend. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who cares. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who cares. You're the only one who cares. You're the only one who cares. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
The love He's greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty head bowed down with care. God gave His Son to wear. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from His sin.
Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. You know, one of the verses that's been, and I've shared this before, but I just keep thinking about it, is Psalm 23. And how it talks about our cup overflowing. Christ preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And this is what we need these days. We need Him to pour His life in our lives. So out of the overflowing cup, we can live our lives to the full. So I want to pray in that theme today. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank You that we can come to You. Thank You that You are a generous God, that You don't wait until everything's safe and calm before You start pouring Your blessings on us. You do this in the presence of our enemies, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of chaos. You prepare a table before us. You anoint our head with oil and our cup overflows. And that's what I pray for each one of my friends here who are watching today. Lord, I pray that our cups would overflow with love from You. And out of the overflow of Your love, we can relate to our spouses and our children and our parents and our friends and our family members. Out of the overflow of Your love. This is what we need, Lord. We need the overflow of Your love for people that think differently than us and that bug us and that push our buttons, that we would overflow with Your love. Out of the overflow of Your peace, would You comfort us in the midst of anxiety and worry about the future? Overflowed with peace so that we can be calm when there's things out of our control, when people are making choices that are devastating for them and affect us as well, that You would fill us with peace. Out of the overflow of Your joy, Lord, that we would face the darkness and that we can experience depression and loneliness, sorrow and loss, that You would overflow us with joy. That we might, walk with our heads held high and our eyes wide open and a smile on our face and in our hearts. Lord, help us in that. Overflow us with joy. Overflow us with hope. Remind us of eternity, that You are coming back one day, that we can spend eternity with You. And that hope, that great hope, that every wrong will be made right, every brokenness will be healed. Lord, that we can walk in that. We are Your children. And so we can have that confidence and that hope. And it would be supernatural. Many people are given into despair these days. May that not be with us. Not because we are just super positive people, but because, Lord Jesus, You are overflowing us with hope. And finally, Lord, out of the overflow of Your forgiveness, You pour so much forgiveness on our lives. And out of the overflow of Your forgiveness, may we forgive those around us. Set them free. Be released from bitterness and revenge and at peace with those around us. Lord, You are the gracious, overflowing God. Ultimately, in all of these things, I say, overflow us with Your life. Overflow us with Jesus in us. Holy Spirit, do that work so that in everything and all that we do, we would reflect Christ well. We love You so much, Lord Jesus. Thank You that we can be a community. Thank You that we get to be on this journey together and that You're with us, leading us and guiding us and close to us through it all. We love You so very much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey guys, it's so good to be with you today. I get to be a part of our Room to Grow series, and we're going to get to look at the Exodus passage from Exodus 35 and 36. When I was a young boy, I used to drive my mother insane. My mother told me I was the latest one to be potty trained. But part of the problem with me was I would never want to leave the thing I was doing to go to the bathroom because I was having such a good time. I didn't want to miss out on the opportunities that were before me by going to the bathroom. So I just chose to make the best of both worlds and continue to be where I was and to, you know, wait on being potty trained and make those around me suffer. That drove my mother to a level of insanity from what she tells me. But the Israelites here were going to be given an opportunity to partner with God in something. And this is what I think. Every time we get a God-given opportunity, it brings about God-given blessings. And that's what we're going to see here in Exodus 35 and 36. But what's happened to the Israelites up until now? Well, up until this point in Exodus 35 and 36, where they're going to be building the tabernacle, they've been led out of Egypt, where they were enslaved. And they've been wandering the wilderness, following Moses, receiving the Ten Commandments, receiving the ways of what God's going to give them in how to live life. But currently, life hasn't been all that good. They kind of just made a huge mistake prior to this too. They, you know, worshipped a golden calf. Moses came down from the mountain. Wasn't a great moment for them. But here, even after all of that, God's coming to them with this opportunity. So God speaks to Moses in Exodus 35 and says, build me a tabernacle. Build me a sanctuary where I might dwell among you. And Moses takes what God commanded to him and takes it to the people and says, we're going to need a whole bunch of material. We're going to need a whole bunch of stuff to do this. And he commands the people and says, if you're willing, this is what it is. And so he lays it before the people, and the people respond. They respond with excitement, and they begin to bring things. And so here we're going to look at Exodus 36, 1 to 5, and this is what it says. And I'm going to paraphrase. I'm going to shorten their names of these two people because they're very challenging to say, and I think it'll make the reading a little bit better. So Bez and Oho, and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given skills and ability to know how to carry out all of the work of constructing the sanctuary, are to do the work just as the Lord had commanded. Then Moses summoned Bez and Oho, and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come to do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings of the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled workers who were doing all of the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, the people are bringing more than enough for the work the Lord has commanded for us to do. Then Moses gave the order and that they sent out through all the camp, no man or woman is to bring anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained from bringing more because what they had already given was more than enough to do all of the work. That's a pretty sweet testimony right off the bat. To hear about the presence of God. We can bring the presence of God here to our camp to be surrounded by where God's presence would be like a hot spot amongst them. Right? We know God is everywhere, but the tabernacle was going to be like this special place for him to dwell amongst them. And upon hearing that, the people responded with such excitement that they were told to stop. I mean, I just love that. But the first thing that I read, what's one of the blessings? So God gives them an opportunity. And what's the blessing that comes from doing it? Well, it's just straight up the presence of God. There's this man named Chris Thomas. He's the son of Ian Thomas, who was the founder of Cape and Ray. I got to hear Chris Thomas speak about his father in his last days. In Ian Thomas's last days, he was beginning to lose his mind a little bit. And while he was staying at a hospice, they would say that the words that would flow out of this man's mouth were very inappropriate, very unlike him, very vulgar language. But the funny thing is, all of these words that he would say as he was losing his mind, he was ashamed of and embarrassed that these were the words coming out of his mouth. But nurses would fight over who would get to go serve Ian Thomas that day, because they said when they would walk into the room, they could sense something different about him. Something about the presence that he carried, even in the midst of the words that would flow out of his mouth, the presence of God that rested on him was different. When the presence of Jesus is there, it makes all the difference. Our world needs the light of Jesus. And the world doesn't know much about this light. So when it comes, it makes all the difference. And that's what the Israelites were seeing when they were inviting the presence to dwell amongst them. It wasn't like today where Holy Spirit lives, Holy Spirit rests in us today. Holy Spirit fell when in Acts 2, you can read about. But at their time, it didn't dwell that same way. In fact, it was more like this. They didn't have like a church like us. That's what they were building in this wilderness. It was like they were building a gathering place, a space for the Lord. And it had kind of layers, right? And the tabernacle was this hot spot that I already had mentioned. And it was actually such a place that later on in the inner tabernacle, only certain people could go there. And when they would, so only certain priests could go in there, and they would actually tie a rope around their ankle when they would walk in, because sometimes they would walk in and the presence, if they weren't clean amongst in the eyes of the Lord, they would drop dead, and that way somebody would be able to pull them out of the place. But that's what like the having the presence of God was, this light amongst them. This is what they were going to be given the opportunity to bring or have amongst them. And we, today as believers, the church, we carry that light everywhere we go because we have Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And that light makes all the difference. But for the Israelites to do this, they knew there was going to be a cost. It was going to cost money. They knew it was going to take time, it was going to take abilities, it was going to take their skills. But one of the blessings is actually to be a part of what God is doing. I love thinking about that. We have the opportunity to do what God is doing, or be a part of what He is doing. And what better thing could there be to do than to use my skills and my resources to bring God's kingdom here. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. When I think about that line, that's what we as believers get to bring. When we don't bring these things, sometimes I wonder if those things would dwell there at all, because we carry this light that the world doesn't really know much about. And the people rose to such an occasion that they actually had to get told to stop. Don't bring anything else. You guys have given enough. We have enough to now do the work. They were passionate about getting to bring God's kingdom now. When you look at your life, how excited do you get about bringing God's kingdom? Because to me, that excites me when I get to step into broken places in our world that God actually wants to partner with us, that we get to co-labor with Him and do His work together. They were excited about bringing His kingdom. But something that I see sometimes is that it's scary to actually give to a vision or give to a mission, because these are precious resources to us sometimes. Our time is valuable. Our money is valuable. And if I'm going to give sacrificially, that can be scary, because what if this happens? The resources get wasted. What if the person leading it goes astray? These are scary things about when we step into giving to something of God, because we don't always get to know how the resources get used. And I actually think about Touch Ministries. So, and if you don't know what Touch Ministries is, it was an orphanage that was founded from a lot of the members here from Alliance Community Church. There was tons of blood, sweat, and tears poured into building Touch Ministries. And it's kind of taken a little bit of a sour turn. Things aren't looking very good for Touch Ministries these days. There was a little bit of bad stuff that happened. But there was a lot of resources poured into it. And now you have to ask, were those resources wasted? Was it a mistake that there was money and effort put into it? And by not for a second, no, none of it was wasted. When we feel called to give to something, and people make mistakes, I didn't give. When you give, it's not given to people, you're giving it to God. And when people are called to steward it, and they mess that up, that's on them. But whenever you give any gift, you're always giving it to God. And that faith level of what you bring to it, it says greater is the unseen than the seen. Sometimes I wonder if that faith level or that even physical gift given sometimes can conquer some of the unseen battles going on. We don't always get to know the final destination, but when we're given an opportunity and feel that we ought to give to something, it's always to God. And that's how we have to respond to things. When you feel the call of Jesus to co-labor with Him in something, of giving sacrificially, it's always to God and never to people. People will reap the blessing, but first is always to God. And that gives me comfort. That gives me comfort to know when I give something, that's what happens. But when we do it, there's blessings that do get to come. And the Israelites got to see that. In Exodus 40, so the tabernacle gets completed after 7 years of work. It's finally completed. And this is what you read in Exodus 40. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The presence of Jesus came, or the presence of God came and dwelled among them. They're co-laboring with Jesus. They got to see some of the fruit of what would come about because of it. When I think about Jesus and what He has done for us, there was an opportunity for Jesus when He came down to earth. He knew there would be a great cost to do what God was calling Him to do. And what was that? Well, He showed us the way. But greater than that, He went to the cross for you and for me and paved a path so that, here we're talking all about this presence, but He made a way that He could eternally bridge the gap by what He did on the cross. For you and for me, there was great cost with the opportunity given to Him. But the blessing was this, that you and I now get to have eternal relationship with God because of the great sacrifice that Jesus paid for you and for me. And when you think about certain opportunities, this sometimes seems like a great cost. But when it came to you and me, Jesus saw it, but also saw what laid beyond, and it was your hearts and minds. Great blessing came. Now we get to have the presence of Jesus around us. I even think it's funny that we're talking about the tabernacle, and this God-given opportunity brought about a great blessing, the presence of God dwelling among them. But then it says in Matthew 27:51, when Jesus finally paid that ultimate cost, price on the cross, what happened? It says that the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split and the tombs broke open. That presence that was encapsulated just around the tabernacle for the Israelites in the wilderness, then in the temple, when Jesus did what He did on the cross, it's like it broke in two. And it was released, well, that's when it fell on Holy Spirit came on all believers, and that presence now dwells in all of us. I think that is so cool when I think about what Jesus knew it was going to cost to make it happen. But now that presence that we just are everywhere we go came first because of what Jesus did. Matthew 5 says that you are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. whether you like it or not, if you call yourself a Christian, you are the walking hope. You are the one that God will open door after door to reveal to others who He is. That mark of some of these opportunities that are going to come your way is because that you've accepted Jesus in your life. And Jesus wants to use you. And two, Jesus wants others to know this light. Because we live in a broken world. We live in a world that needs this light. And I think God's going to continually create opportunities for us to step in to some of these blessings. Because He wants the world to know, and He wants you to be a part of it. Because Jesus' presence makes all the difference. So what can we bring? What can we be doing? Well, I just turn and ask you, what has God given you to do? What opportunities in your life, kingdom advancing things, has God given you to do that He keeps putting in front of your path to step into? One time I saw a girl, I don't know what the disease is called, but she would strike herself in the face. She was bruised. She was in a wheelchair and she looked quite thin and feeble. But she would strike herself in the face. And I remember seeing her being wheeled down this hallway where I was sitting. And I was moved internally that I was supposed to get up and go and pray for her. An opportunity lay before me. But you see, I was sitting around a whole bunch of non-Christian people who I worked with, who I had already gotten into debate about who Jesus was. And I remember the insecurity that overwhelmed me. And I watched that girl go by. And I did nothing. I felt I was supposed to get up and pray for her. To just bring either peace, even pray for healing. But I missed that chance. I missed that opportunity to potentially be a part of what God's doing. To advance, to bring God's kingdom. In other words, do something that otherwise maybe would never have happened. I missed that chance because something got in the way. And that time it was myself that got in the way. Now when I think about that story today, I don't feel shame. I don't feel embarrassed to even say those things. Rather, I remember that story. I don't think God lets that story out of my heart because I don't want to miss another opportunity that the Lord puts before me that I know He is calling me to be or to do. Every opportunity that comes, that's what I want to do. I don't want to miss God's opportunities and blessings that He's laying before me to do. And I think it's funny when we look at this story in Exodus of them building the tabernacle. It says that they were commanded. God commanded Moses. Then Moses commanded the people. But then in all of it, it says, if you're willing. I feel a command is like a... When I think of command, if Tim says, Michael, stop that. I don't feel I have a decision really in it. But I'm just to do it. But then it says, if you're willing. And to me, that looks at the heart. And God's saying, this is what you were made to do, but I don't want you to do it if you're not willing. God wants us to do it from a heart of excitement. And I find sometimes what eats at that is a loss of passion or a loss of vision. Proverbs 29:18 has been a big line that we've been saying here at Alliance Community Church. And it's this: without vision, the people perish. Some seasons of life, I feel it's harder to feel passionate or excited about something. And I think the best way to combat that is to ask Jesus, Lord, what opportunities are you putting in front of me today? And when I think about the vision that never changes in my life is to be a part of being the light of Jesus, just walking around and being me. And He will put in my path opportunities to bring His light, to let them know the difference that Jesus makes in your life and in mine and to the world. Well, we've been talking about room to grow. Purchasing this land up the road is an opportunity that lies before us. And we believe God is telling us to go and do this. But I think He looks at us and goes, only if you're willing. But the blessing that comes with it, to know that I was a part of blessing Sylvan and bringing light into a darkened world. Getting to bring the presence of Jesus in another way, of stepping out in faith. That's what I think about when I think about our Room to Go campaign. I want to be the light of Jesus here in Sylvan. And I look at you and I ask you, what do you feel God is calling you to do with the opportunities He lays before you financially, with your abilities and your time? God has gifted you and made you to be the light to the world. He has made you to be that light, and He will continue to put chances in your way. But for each of us, we have to ask, Lord Jesus, what are you asking me to do? Close in a word, or we're going to invite the worship team to come on up. But if you're willing to pray with me, that would be awesome. Heavenly Father, what is it that you're calling me to do today? What opportunities are you laying before me that you want me to step into, Lord Jesus? Would you reignite the passion in my heart to see your kingdom come and your will be done? Would we not lose the desire to see more of you come in our own lives? Because you make the difference, Jesus. And to bring that light of Jesus to those around us. Lord, I thank you that you give us your opportunities to labor with you. And thank you, Lord, that they're always filled with blessing. In your name we pray. Amen.
Upon you and thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. His favor be upon you. Your family, and your children,
and the children,
and the children. And his presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, and within you.
And thanks, Michael, for sharing what you shared. That was really powerful. And to be reminded of God-given opportunities result in God-given blessings. So I love the way Michael brought that out. You know, this is a special Sunday for us, March 21st, 2021. We are going to be starting our campaign harvest. This is a big deal. So let me give you a quick, brief history of what brings us to today again. You know, we've been talking about purchasing land for a lot of years, actually. This has not been a 6-month deal. This has been 5 years, maybe, that this conversation has been going around. So we are not this is not a, you know, quick pull trigger kind of thing. This is a well thought through, prayed through initiative that we feel God is wanting us to do. We've been talking about this for many years. We received the opportunity for this particular piece of land, the 73 acres on the southwest corner of Sylvan Lake. We received that opportunity almost 4 years ago. It's hard to believe it's been that long, but that's how long it's been. And we've been praying about it a year and a half ago, or 2 years ago, I think it was. 2 years ago, the elders and I, through prayer and listening to Jesus, said, yes, we want to move on this piece of land. We feel like it's the right thing for us at this time. A year and a half ago, we hired a consultant to help us raise money for the Room to Grow campaign. And he came in and met with many of you, and he determined that it was well within our means to raise $2.5 million. And that's what we needed to raise at that time, $2.5 million. He said, yep, based on the conversations I've had and the generosity of your people, you should be able to raise $2.5 million. A year ago, we began the Room to Grow campaign with lots of excitement and lots of joy. We jumped into it. Also a year ago, we shut down the campaign because of COVID. And we said, whoa, we did not see that coming, like everyone else on the planet. And we put a pause on that. We didn't know when. We just put a pause. And we said, God, we'll leave this in your hands for now. And we dealt with COVID and how we can continue to function and navigate this new path as a church. Then in January this year, the elders and I felt a strong inclination from the Holy Spirit that we should take the pause button off and lean back into doing the campaign. In February, we sent out a video, campaign video, and a newsletter to let you know what we're thinking. We had a virtual town hall meeting. And then throughout this month of March, we've been preaching toward the Room to Grow campaign, how God might use us and inspire us. Of course, we also introduced the change from buying the land to build a building and then use the excess land to bless the town. The change was buy the land to bless the town and then maybe someday build a building. That was one big change. The other big change was it went from $2.5 million to $1.5 million. So $1 million off. Now how much would you pay? Right? It's like throwing a set of knives. No, we're $1.5 million. So it is just a great thing. So it's well within our generous hearts to be able to raise this money. And that brings us to today. Starting today and for the next 10 days, we're going to be having a harvesting season. A season where we bring in this money. The pledges. Our goal is to raise $1.5 million, and this will allow us to purchase the land that God has provided for us. Here are our parameters, okay? Our parameters are that you give what God has placed on your heart, and that you give willingly and joyfully. That's what we want from you. That you give what God has placed on your heart, just like Michael talked about today. If you're willing and joyful, then give that amount. Pray and ask God what He would want you to give. On our online form, if you're at home, you can see this on the online form. If you go to the drop-down menu under info, you go to the drop-down menu, and there's a Room to Grow button there. Click on that button, and then you'll see my contribution. And you can click on that button there, and you can just fill that out, and it'll be sent in. Or there are physical cards here at the church. That's what Jennifer and I have got mine. I'm ready to hand it in today, so I'm pretty excited about that. Interesting. Here's an interesting thing. Last year, I filled out the campaign card, and then we shut it down, and I lost the card, or I didn't know where it was. This year, we rethought it through. We prayed it through again, and we filled out the card again, and I found the old card, and guess what? Same amount. So it was cool. God is working in our hearts to do the same thing. I want you to know that only one other person will see your pledge card. And that person just so recording results, okay? So, pledge cards brought in over the next 10 days from today till March 31st. Or if you have just a gift you want to bring, and the gift can be a cash donation, it can be a piece of property or stocks or whatever you'd like to do to give toward this campaign. I am so grateful for you guys. And I'm thankful for what God is going to do in our hearts. I want you to know that He will equip us with everything we need to do whatever it is He's asking us to do. We can trust Him, and we can experience His great growth, the growth that He wants for us in our lives as we keep in step with Him. God-given opportunities will result in God-given blessings. I want that for you. I want that for me. I want that for our whole church. God bless you guys. Love you.